If you have ever struggled with deciding whether or not you're going to homeschool your kids or send them to public school, I'm sure something that has gone through your mind is the belief that there are no holes in the public school system, that it's such a big thing that they have it all figured out and they are going to provide the best education for your kids, and that you are going to do a subpar job and there's going to be holes in your kids' education. And I think that that is a big myth, and I'm going to explain why in this episode. And we are going to be covering one of the areas that many kids have gaps in their education from the public school, the traditional public school system, and how you can fill those gaps by homeschooling your kiddo. This is going to be a good one. I hope you guys enjoy it. Do you want to homeschool your kids, but fear is holding you back? Have you already committed to homeschooling, but you want validation that you made the right choice? Do you want to work from home, but you aren't sure you can do it all? How would it feel to walk confidently in your homeschool journey, knowing you're doing what's best for your family? If you are worried that you won't be able to juggle working from home with kiddos running around, I'm here to show you what's possible and how to do it in a way that feels good to both you and your family. Hey guys, I'm Jolie Gregerson, wife, mom to three young kiddos, coffee lover, and entrepreneur, and I want to show you the freedom that comes from homeschooling without being chained down by traditional public school and work schedules. I never want a mom to not pursue homeschooling because of overwhelm, confusion, and lack of support, which is where this podcast comes in. No matter what point in your homeschool journey you're on, you're in the right place. So grab a coffee and let's jump in. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. I am so glad to have you here again. Today is going to be a great episode for those of you who struggle with wondering if the public school is the best route for your kid. And we're just diving into part of it. Obviously, this is a big topic with lots of different aspects to it. And today we're just going to be jumping into one area of it. And that is one of the areas that I see that there's holes in the public school system and education. What those holds are and how you can fill those gaps as a homeschool mom. And I know a lot of us, whether you're just starting out on your homeschool journey or you are a homeschool veteran, we still have the thoughts on questioning whether or not we are giving our kids the best education. The world likes to push that public school is the best route in order to get a really thorough education and ensure that there are no gaps in your child's education, when in fact, the whole entire public school system in some ways sets your kid up for some gaps. And this isn't all kids. It's really dependent on the kid and how they are doing, how they are retaining the information, whether it is their passion subject or a subject that they struggle with. There's just a lot of different variables in it, and I'm not saying the entire public school system is flawed. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. I'm not here to just demonize the public school system. I know people that have great results. I have a lot of family that are teachers in the public school system, and they're great teachers. But just the nature of the beast being that there's one teacher to many students, sometimes an overwhelming amount of students, right? In the classroom, they have to structure it in ways that they're able to appeal and kind of monitor a wide, like a huge group of kids and make sure that the kids are having a really, really fast way to see how the kid is doing. But then they got to keep going, right? They can't stop and tailor to each individual kids and cater to them and, you know, make sure that there's no holes. They got to keep going on with the class and just keep moving along. Whether or not your kid is grasping the concepts fully or not. So the topic I'm diving into today is basically on the way your kids are tested and the way the teachers are analyzing how well they're doing, but then still moving on. And in the public school system, let's use spelling as an example. If your kid is supposed to memorize 20 words, and this is just an example, if they're supposed to memorize 20 words in the public school, and then they go and they do a test, and they only were able to memorize 10 of the words, then they'll get a 50%, so a bad grade, and then they'll move on. They do not have time in the public school because of so many different kids with so many different abilities and strengths and all of the things. They do not have time to go back and then teach each individual kid the words that they failed or the words that they haven't yet grasped. Because each kid learns different. Each kid has different skill sets. So some people are going to be really gifted in this area, right? And they're going to get all of them right. And then there's going to be those who this isn't their strong suit is necessarily like memorization. And then, or maybe they just don't do it quickly. They need more time. All kids, I think, are capable of being geniuses in their own ways. Obviously, some kids have more ability than others, but I believe that a lot of it is due to learning style. So maybe your kid isn't grasping it right away. They are struggling in this topic for whatever reason. They get 50%. So like I said, this is just an example. They get 50%. They only get 10 words out of the 20. Then the teachers do not have time to go back through and make sure that your kid still learns those 10 words. Most likely, they'll just get their grade, and then they'll move on. And then they're just told, like, you got to try harder. You got to study more. You got to make sure that you do better on the next tests. Otherwise, you're going to get a bad grade in the class. And, of course, we know that most kids will kind of use grades to determine their self-worth. We know this. A lot of the kids that had a great experience in high school got really good grades and they were confident because of that. They got confidence from their grades. And then some kids that came out of school with just crushed egos, thinking that they're just not smart, are the ones that might have gotten not as good grades. And not necessarily because they're not as bright, but maybe just because they kind of were falling through the cracks a little bit. And I think it's naive to think that kids are not going to fall through the cracks. You have a huge class and a ton of different learning styles, and each kid has their own strengths and weaknesses. And it's hard, or it's naive to say that none of them are going to fall through the cracks. And I know every teacher's heart is to not let this happen. So I'm not saying the teachers are doing a bad job or that they're failing. They are doing the best they can with a large group of kids. But it's a large group of kids. So like I was saying, if your kid got a bad grade on their spelling test, the teacher does not have time to go back through a class of 25 kids or so and see what each kid failed as far as the words go, and then help them memorize those words or help them understand the concepts, right? It's not always just spelling. Sometimes it's just the concept. They're not going to have time to go through and make sure each kid is getting every single thing right. It's kind of on the kid in a way. The teacher basically has to grade the work, give it back to the kid, and then either say, hey, you need to pick it up, or you need to study more, and a lot of it is put back on the kid, and then they got to keep moving on, right? They got to keep moving on for those who are getting the concepts right away. That way they keep progressing in their education, but also because they have to meet deadlines throughout the school year, and they have to make it through a certain amount of curriculum. They just have to stay on track. And so the holds I'm talking about right here is that your kid might not be grasping all of the concepts, but oftentimes they'll just get a bad grade and the class moves on. And that's just the nature of the beast. They have to do it that way because it's such large class and they can't sit there and cater to each kid. And they do in some sense, like teachers will try their best to make sure that each kid is understanding, whether that be suggesting tutors or whatnot. And yes, kids do need to have some responsibility. They need to know if they need to start studying a little bit harder. But we also want to create lifelong learners. And I think that a big area that kids start to hate school and their education is because of the feeling of failure. They don't like the feeling that they're constantly trying to prove themselves. And maybe they are working their butt off and trying their hardest to get a grade. And they're putting in a ton of effort. And then they still don't get a good grade on a certain topic. Maybe it's because it's not their passion. Maybe it's because it's not their zone of genius. But for whatever reason, they get a bad grade and it crushes their confidence. And I know plenty of adults that throughout their lives, they just label themselves as bad at something because of grades in school. And so my mom, for example, she will go through life saying, I am terrible at math. I am absolutely terrible at math. And same with my sister, actually. And it's just because of the way they learn. It's not their zone of genius. It's also not their passion by any means. They didn't even want to go into a career that involved numbers and math at all. And they didn't do great at it. And then they still to this day walk through life saying they are terrible at math and that they're just not smart in those areas, which isn't necessarily true. It's just that their confidence was crushed. And I'm not saying, man, it's such a fine line because I also don't want people to be like, well, when they get to college, they're going to be graded. So they need to learn how to deal with grades. And yes, I agree. But there's a way to do it that will build up their confidence and still help them to enjoy learning and do it in more of a way to where you use grading as a way to go back and help them grasp those concepts better rather than just saying, this is where you're at. You're not doing well. You need to pick it up, because that's usually the lectures they get is like, okay, you got a terrible grade. You got a D or a C or something. And you need to pick it up. You need to start trying harder. You need to study more. You need to do this. And it just puts all the pressure back on the kid and basically saying, like, you're not measuring up. You need to do more. When we could, you know, switch it around and have them instead think of it like, okay, these are the areas I'm not grasping it, so we're going to focus on these areas more moving forward. And so how does this relate to what I was just saying about the holes in the education? So like I was saying, in the public school system, they don't have time to go back and make sure each kid is learning all the words, using the spelling example. Your kid only memorized 10 out of 20, then they just get a bad grade, and then it's on to studying the next words to memorize. But then your kid never actually goes back and memorizes those words that they missed. Or, you know, because they're still trying to keep up. This obviously isn't their zone of genius. And then they're on to trying to study the next ones. That way they can keep up their grade or better their grade. So then it's just on to the next set while kind of just skipping over the ones that they didn't get. How can you apply this to your homeschool and fill in those holes? Is you have the ability to stop and go back over the concepts that your kid is not getting. So you can use grading as an indicator of where they might be falling through the cracks. You can pause right where you're at because you only have a few kids to teach, right? Instead of like 20. So you can pause right where you're at. You can go back and you can go over lessons. You can even if they're really not getting it, then get more resources to help them learn it in a different way. You can tailor it to their individual learning style. There's so much you can do to try to make sure that they are grasping those concepts. And then when they take another test, maybe they blow it out of the water and they get 100%. Well, then you can move on. Or if it's one of the topics that your kid is excelling at, it's their zone of genius, you can move along at a lot faster rate, because then you're not being slowed down by the kids in the class that's not grasping it. So you can tailor the education to both sides. If your kid is absolutely crushing it and they're excelling, then you can move along at a faster rate. And you're also not tied down by grade level. I know plenty of homeschoolers who were many grade levels ahead in their zone of genius, in their passions. And they weren't, held down by the structure of the classroom and having to wait for others. They were able to have the freedom to move along as fast as they were grasping concepts. And then in other areas, they had the ability to slow down and make sure that they were staying up on their work, they were really understanding what they were learning, and they were moving at a pace that ensured that there was no holes in their education. So using these examples, you can kind of see that just from the nature of the beast of having a huge classroom with one teacher trying to keep everyone up to speed and moving along and trying to meet deadlines, that way they, go through their entire curriculum before the end of the school year, they can't fall behind, then there's going to be holds no matter, and it's not the teacher's fault. It's just the nature of the beast. But the glory of homeschooling is that you are able to go back and fill in those holds and make sure that they're moving along more soundly with a better foundation and not just skipping over things that they're not really understanding, because they have to keep moving on. They have to keep going. It's not just okay, here's your bad grade, now we're moving on. It's instead using the grade as an indicator of, okay, we are missing something. There's a hole somewhere. Let's go back and fix it. And you can take some time and go back and fix it. Because that's another glory of homeschooling, is you're not tied down by timelines. Public school is very tied down by timelines. So teachers are also in a hurry to make sure that they're going through all of the curriculum by a certain date at the end of the year. They can't slow it down too much. Otherwise, by the end of the year, the kids aren't going to make it all the way through the curriculum. And so they're kind of on a schedule that they have to stick to, which means some kids are going to fall behind. Some kids are going to have big holds along the way. And it's just the nature of the beast. Whereas homeschooling, there's really no start and stop date. If your kid is flying along in their zone of genius, you can let them fly, and you can either just keep them going and they can get grade levels ahead and then just really excel when they go into the next grade, or you just let them keep going as long as they want, because it's obviously their passion, it's their zone of genius, or you let them get ahead and be done early on that topic. And then focus on the topics that are having to move more slowly because they have a harder time grasping it. So you're not really tied down by the start date and the stop date. And you can go further into the summer if it's a topic that's not their zone of genius and you're going to have to, or you're having to slow down to fill in those cracks. Or like I said, they can excel and just fly far beyond what you had planned for that year if it's one of their passions. And so you're not really tied down by that start and stop date like teachers are. And so you're able to tailor it more to your kids' learning pace and their learning style. I hope that this episode gave you guys some encouragement that even though it is implied that your kid is getting the absolute best education in the public school, a lot of the times the world is going to tell you that. It's not always true. And just because of the nature of the beast, there's going to be holes in every kid's education. And yes, there may be holes also in some homeschool education. But what I don't want you to think is that there's going to be holes in a homeschool education and not a public school, because that is just not true. And you are more than capable of giving your kid a super sound, solid education and foundation for the rest of their life. And this is just one of the examples on ways that there may be holes in the average public school kids' education that you as a homeschool mom are able to fill homeschooling your kiddo. I hope that this gave you guys some encouragement and that this kind of quiets some fear you have around maybe holds being in the homeschool education but not the public school. You have got what it takes. And you also have the skills to fill those holes. Okay, you guys, that's it for today's episode. I hope this filled you with encouragement or equipped you with the knowledge to move forward confidently in your homeschool journey. The best way you can show your support is by leaving me a review on Apple Podcasts. This expands my reach and allows me to impact more moms who need the encouragement in their own homeschool journey. Also, sharing this with all your homeschool mom friends out there. My goal is to make Find Freedom Homeschooling the number one podcast for Christian homeschool moms, and I need your help to do it. I'll see you guys in the next episode.